All right, we've been studying in 2 Timothy and about Paul's late in his writings about how to propagate the gospel, how to pass on the doctrine to future generations. And we're going to start tonight in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 1, and read on down about verse 6 anyway. It starts with our apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, writing to Timothy. And throughout this epistle, there is this thread of how to propagate the gospel of the grace of God, how to pass it on to the next generation. And it's like a chain. There must be each link there for it to continue being passed on. From our viewpoint, from God's viewpoint, things that are impossible to us are possible to Him. But Paul is interested in maintaining the growth of the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Paul is preparing followers for the last days of the body of Christ on earth. There is a different last days for the body of Christ than there is for Israel. Israel has different last days. Since Israel fell, Israel's last days come later, much later than they would have come if they had not fallen in Acts chapter 7. Israel's last days come after the last days of the body of Christ. He's intending for the body of Christ to grow and extend God's offer of salvation. Pardon me. But Paul wrote that in the last days of the body of Christ, instead of growing, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Man's pride gets in the way of God's will. Pride gets in the way of people receiving the salvation that God has made available to them. They say, no thanks, God. Look at me. I'm pretty good, aren't I? I'm as good, at least as good as most of the rest of the people. That's not it. That's not what God says. That's a vain, a proud outlook that is disastrous, really. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. I wouldn't want to be around these people, but this is me. This is each of us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power is in the gospel. Paul tells us what to do. From such, he says, from such, turn away. Turn away. Don't frequent their rooms. Don't listen to their broadcasts. Don't, turn away from them. Don't play with them. Now, that's quite a list that we went through there in verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul was inspired of God to use these words and to write it down. So these things must have already been happening at the time that he wrote it also. Those things have been happening since then too. So any time since then could have been the last days, right? But they're not the last days until they lead to our being caught up forever to be with the Lord. to me, that's a comforting thought. We're still here, so that we're not in Jacob's trouble. We're not in the tribulation. And there are some verses that indicate the last days started, you know, back in Jesus' day. They were ignorers. They didn't want to listen to Jesus. They had all the prophecies of what he would be like, so they could spot him when he comes. They could find him. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:6. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. How do we get laden with sins? We're all sinners. And look at these three verses that I believe are relevant. I'm going to... let's go through them. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now that's a singular, isn't it? The world is just one world. It doesn't say every person, does it? Not there. God was no longer just sending reconciliation to Israel anymore, as a dispensation of the gospel of Christ was to the Jews and the Greeks. That's part of the mystery of Christ revealed to Paul, that the gospel of salvation is no longer sent only to Israel, to the Jews and the Greeks. Paul's gospel of salvation began being sent to the entire world, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, in other words, because God hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. In Christ's stead. In other words, as if this is Christ speaking to you, be ye reconciled to God. There's something you have to do. You have to let it happen. God made reconciliation to us, but we need to receive that and not put up a blockage there. We can't say, I don't want that gift. Well, I should say we can say it. We mustn't, though, if we're going to be reconciled to God. We need to receive and rest in that reconciliation. God has reconciled us to him, but we need to receive that gift of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, he, Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, recall 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are they that creep into houses. Well, consider these verses about houses at that time. Romans 16:5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Talking about houses. Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. Look at Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. Well, the only chapter, but verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So Paul might be warning there in those verses, 2 Timothy 3:6, of this sort are they which creep into houses. He may be warning that there will be those sitting there in your churches and in your Bible studies who soon will be teaching other things not in the Bible. Beware. Last days. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts or different lusts. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That knowledge of the truth is what we're to grow in, isn't it? That's God's will for saved people, to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. But my preacher says, so-and-so wrote in Doctrine 400 years ago. No, believe the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Right here, within the body of Christ, sitting in seats next to us, wherever you might be, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 2 Timothy 3:9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. Jannes and Jambres was fully, their folly was manifested, made known. Verse 10, going down the line in third chapter of 2 Timothy. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. And these are communicative here, so it's my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. Thou hast fully known my persecutions and my afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. That's where he was stoned. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, that's one of the five times that we write about on the followchristspattern.com website. There's a lesson about five times delivered, or in one column it's called that, the other column it's called delivered five times. On page 6 in that top yellow menu, it is clarifying. I hope it's helpful to somebody that will read it. The Lord delivered Paul five times, and that shows who he's delivering him to. Verse 17 in Acts 26 says that's who he's sending him to. That's who Paul was sent to. Those are the Gentiles that he sent to. Not all the Gentiles. Verses 16 and 17, and I'm not quoting it here, but the people and the Gentiles from whom Paul was delivered are the people and the Gentiles to whom Christ had sent Paul in that dispensation of the gospel of Christ. And you can read the verse, and if you recognize that, you understand the verse. Otherwise, you think Gentiles means all the Gentiles, and it doesn't. It means the ones to whom, of whom Christ delivered Paul. So, that was the Gentiles to whom Christ was sending Paul at that time in a dispensing of the gospel. Those Jews and Greeks in the synagogues. Going on in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 now. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. Here's a turnaround. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We're learning from Paul. It's a good thing the Lord provided us with a preserved, pure word from our apostle and our instructions for our salvation. We're thankful. Timothy learned those things from the Old Testament scriptures that his mother and his grandmother taught him. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. What did the holy scriptures in the Old Testament do for them? They made them wise unto something. It does not say that the scriptures saved them in that dispensation. In this current dispensation, we are saved by believing the gospel revealed only to Paul, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. He died. That's a fact of history. The death, burial, and resurrection are facts of history. But what was a mystery, what was kept secret, was the for our sins part. Christ died for our sins. And we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Christ became sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God, saved. But from a child, Timothy had known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Wise to what? Wise unto salvation through faith. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not through being good. Not through being sitting in church every time it's open. That's not, I mean, if you're going to a Bible-believing church, that's a good thing, but that's not what saves you. When they hear it, they can believe it. And what about the scripture? All scripture, look at verse 16, all scripture is given. That's a fact. All scripture is given. And that's verified by Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. There it is. Specific statement. It's right in the scripture itself. God dispensed something from him to Paul for you and for me to fulfill the word of God, to fill up the word of God, the writing of the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Look at Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear the gospel, you can't believe it. When you hear the word of God, what if you reject it? How do we know that the Bible is legitimate and it's truly the Word of God? Well, in its giving, God safeguarded that. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That was the body of Christ's prophet's duty. That's his job description. So Paul was uniquely designed, designated really, set apart to bring to us the newly revealed Word of God. We don't get the Word of God newly revealed to us today. That's completed. There's no more new scripture being written. We get it by reading and hearing what Paul taught in Romans through Philemon. Look again, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yes, believers, Acts is not excluded from being profitable for doctrine when kept in context and rightly divided, considering which people group each part was written to and written about. Acts is profitable for doctrine. Don't abuse it by failing to use it or by misapplying it. We're talking about the doctrine in Acts and in the Acts epistles written by Paul. A large part of those are just a applicable, just usable to the body of Christ today as Paul's post-Acts epistles. The difference is that there are some additional information, some additional instructions in Acts and in the Acts period epistles that only apply to those Jews and Greeks in that dispensing of the gospel of Christ. That people group of the Jews and the Greeks does not exist anymore. We don't have to worry about what we, if we wear a head covering. We don't wear a head covering in front of the Jews and Greeks that we're trying to get saved into the body of Christ. We don't have to, it's not a situation that God would write to us about. He's writing that to the Jews and the Greeks, which don't exist anymore. So that was about getting those people saved into the body of Christ before a dispensation of the gospel of Christ ended. And it did end when the gospel, Paul notes the transfer there in Acts 20, verse 24, when he says he received a ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. But today, that's not our concern. Things like food offered to idols, all those ordinances before the middle wall of partition was broken down. After the middle wall was broken down, all those things do not concern us. So we have to think about what we're reading. We have to understand who it's to and who we are. And are we that group that it's being written to? In Paul's post-Acts epistles, often called prison epistles, you don't have to think about it too much. It's all to and about the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The goal is to perfect godly men. The means is to furnish the man of God through and through by the Word of God.